dig it, dig it, dig it, dig it. Check it out.
You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, J.D. Church, Ender, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
So, okay, you're listening to New Soundwave episode 20. There it is.
20, yeah.
So,
next week it could drink.
And, of course, don't worry. If you go 88 miles per hour, you're not going to go back in time, but you will find New Soundwave. I am here, JD, your host.
Sorry.
With me, I have my own version of sneakers. That's going to include Brian Kilby. Hello, Brian. Chris Triplett.
Hey.
Well, hey, Ender.
Yo.
John Luna.
Mm.
And Rob Springer. Welcome.
Hey, all. Y'all.
There he is. So
I hate Rob.
This has been a kind of a biggish week. There's a lot of stuff going
Ender
on.
Ender doesn't hate Rob. He just has to say I hate something.
Yes. That's
just sort of letting right. Listeners know, because they don't. Yeah. Not all of them are as quick to the, you know.
There's
start.
Not. There's no real anger. It's just sort of a general.
General Tourette's. You know.
So let's get to it. Here we go. First bit that I just happened to notice earlier today. Hulu's losing Colbert Report and Daily Show.
I don't watch either. Or Hulu.
Aren't they losing all of Comedy Central?
I think they're losing. Yeah, I think they're losing
the
Viacom
pod or something. Yeah.
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 But
so,
those are the two that people watch.
Right. Well, and I think, and see, that's the thing that gets me. I think there's. I mean, I know that I used to watch that a lot on Hulu. So I don't know what that's going to do to Hulu, or is Hulu already on the way out anyway? I mean, are people actually watching this anymore now that Netflix?
I think Hulu's already transcended that. I mean, it's going to be, it's like a small loss in the big picture for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't lose, as long as it doesn't lose the mysterious cities of gold, I will be okay.
Well,
yes, America can sleep.
Well, they got Land of the Lost reruns, which is all good, but YouTube's got Johnny Sacco and his giant robot, so I'm kind of torn.
Can I get Herculoids?
Oh, that would be. Ooh. I don't think so.
But. You'll need some ointment for that.
So we're going to have a whole mishmash of a lot of movie news and stuff coming up. So this will be the first piece that I'll go ahead and. Okay. Anyway, so news from this past week, PS3's totally crapped themselves this week.
Yes.
And I, and as our regular listeners know, I am a huge fan of PS3. I love PS3. I own one. I heart it very much, and I'm really glad that I hadn't happened to have turned it on.
Jeez, I was freaking out during the apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, reading the news, I'm like, leaving it turned off. I'm like,
I laugh at you with malice.
Basically, apparently what happened is this only affected mostly the older models of the PS3, and apparently someone in the software department didn't realize that 2010 was not a leap year. So,
genius.
A pseudo Y2K disaster happened when PS3s were fairly certain it should be February the 29th, and it was not. So, but apparently all is well now. Everything has been fixed. Everything's
2.9 day.
So you can just play it for a day?
So, but apparently it was on for like a few days there. So I think the news just came down like yesterday or today.
It happened Sunday, like late Sunday evening. That's when I first noticed it, because it happened to mine. I messed up.
Really?
And then, like Monday night. Huh?
What did it do? What did it do exactly?
Basically, you couldn't play certain games that used trophies because the system didn't recognize that. That it wasn't February 29th. It thought it was February 29th, but it was actually like March 1st. And just
you cannot play games. Your console is from the future.
Yeah. Certain games wouldn't work, and some trophies actually disappeared.
Oh, God.
So, like, if you'd like earned sort of like a platinum or something, it was gone on Sunday.
And I felt really bad because I had spent years at the time that I was at Best Buy trying to talk my boss or one of my managers there into getting a PS3, and he bought one over the weekend, and then all of this happened. I was like, why?
Why? If he bought it over the weekend, he got a Slim, didn't he?
Yeah, so he was okay.
It didn't happen to the Slims.
But you know, most people were even like concerned because they just didn't know really what the full extent
mass
was.
Mass confusion.
So, yeah, the Slims were fine. If you had a Slim, they were fixed. They didn't care about us suckers that bought them back in 2006.
Yeah,
they
had like the original model, my 60 gig version. So, anyway,
talking
but it's all
cats,
good
living
now.
Together, mass hysteria.
Yes. Here's my confusion with this whole situation. My confusion with the whole situation. Really, okay. My first PlayStation still works. I went through 3 PlayStation 2s, and I'm scared to turn on my current one. And the 3 apparently one day decides not to play games just because it thinks it's the few. It gets confused and doesn't want to work. 360s are dying every time you look at them cross-eyed. Wii's are okay. Why does my Atari still work perfectly?
Because it's got that wooden built exterior, which was fantastic.
I can turn on my Atari.
Because that mechanism is like 1/1,000,000th as complicated as the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically.
Every one of those big diesel leather beats of their ass. Well, the thing is, too, PlayStation 1 is one of the best consoles ever built, in my opinion. PlayStation 2, it's one of the worst. And I don't own a 3, so I can't comment.
I've never had a problem with PlayStation 2. My PlayStation 1 failed, and I actually had to go
I've never had a problem with my PlayStation 2, but I worked at a game store, and people brought so many back defective, we used to call it the POS2.
My PS1 was fantastic, especially when I had to turn it upside down to play.
Exactly.
My favorite was the myriad of problems that PS2s would develop. My favorite being the one that wouldn't play DVDs, wouldn't play PS2 games, but would play PS1 games.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was like, yeah, you want to turn that in as a PS1, I guess? We'll try that.
So from games to movies about games, a slew of news coming out of Tron Legacy.
A movie about a game. It was a movie first.
Well, Tron
but
is
it was
a movie.
Always about a game.
But it was always about a game.
But it's not,
Tron
it's,
was a game.
It's about it. It's a movie game.
There was no real game that Tron was about, but Tron the movie was about games.
Okay.
It's all about the game.
Exactly.
It's about it's a recursive joke that I went too far.
And then they made games that Tron could have been about. So
called Tron.
And then there's Street Fighter the game, the movie the game, but that's a whole other problem.
So I want to go into
Reason on a Saturday.
It never happened.
Too many spoilers or things, but apparently one of the main characters in the film is going to be Flynn's son, and Flynn has been gone for a while. There's Boxlighter's character is going to be back, so they're going to be using some of the de-aging technology, which we kind of knew that already. So lots of interesting stuff coming out of Tron.
I've not watched Tron since I was a kid.
He's going to be back because I felt really bad. He must really need a paycheck because he was in that Transmorphers 2 movie.
Bruce
which is awesome.
Sweet.
Wow.
I got a major spoiler going on about Tron 2.
Okay, Rob.
There's an Easter egg ending where the villain for part 3 shows up, and he's going to be turned out to be the villain the whole time, Rob Cypher.
Ooh.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
Must see.
So.
Yeah, I don't think anyone listening to this knows who Rob Cypher is.
It was either that or 4chan. Give me a break.
Yeah.
4chan would have been better.
I'm actually on the show, and I don't care. I don't even know who that is.
So. Slew of movie news otherwise. Captain America is filming in London.
They're looking for extras.
Yes. So if you happen to live in London or LA.
Are they going to like have the Blitz going on and like blow up a bunch of like crap?
Probably in London, I would assume.
They'll probably just go ahead and blow it up.
Between them and the BBC, they're always having the Blitz somewhere in London, aren't they?
Yeah.
And History Channel.
History Channel, Doctor Who, Foyle's War. They got to blow up some old house every day of the week.
So, tie-in comics for Iron Man 2.
Sort of spoilers. Minor spoilers. Sort of
minor spoilers, I would say. But yeah, there's some stuff there. Let's see. Transformers 3. I don't know. I mean, they're talking about major edits
Transformers
for
3.
Yeah, Prime and Bumblebee. Yeah. Like, this
one
is
more
be
time.
Short. So well,
hopefully it's last time.
You'll have like a double racing stripe or something, or triple racing stripe or something.
Yeah. Are you talking about all these maybe story changes for that movie? I got this crazy idea. Why don't you write the script first and then shoot your movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't,
you know, maybe I don't then it won't, I don't know, suck. Just me.
Well, filming it in 3D gives them an advantage because now the characters might be two-dimensional.
Are they filming in 3D or is it going to be made available in 3D? Because now know that this is two different things.
Well, this is Michael Bay, so he's really confused. What do you mean, dude? Everything's in 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I've heard that Bay is against it, you know, as far as doing it in 3D. So that's what I'm saying. My question, I guess, and I haven't filming it in 3D or whether it's going to be edited into 3D. Because that's the whole thing, like, it's come out right now about Alice.
I'm sure the studio will come to him with footage of Megan Fox washing his car in 3D and he'll come around.
Mm-hmm. Or an extra bag of money.
Because, I mean, that's the big thing right now is they're saying, oh, Alice in Wonderland's in 3D. Well, yeah, it's in 3D, but it's in posted 3D, not like Avatar that was actually shot in 3D.
Yeah.
Or that wonderful G-Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So glad I paid for that one.
You did?
I took my girlfriend and mother to see that because they both wanted to see it.
Wow.
And I sat there the whole time. Hey, I'm a good guy. I sat there the whole time like, could we just saw the 2D version? I don't see why I paid $2 a ticket here. Because I was like, effects in the 3D version. Just like, this is annoying. This is annoying.
I don't know, man. You can't pick your mother, but...
Speaking of Avatar, apparently James Cameron is against the title of Avatar 2, which is funny because that's exactly what I said. Avatar makes no
he
sense.
He stole that idea from
title.
You.
I know, but I just made the point, like after watching the movie, because the whole thing about him being an Avatar is because it's an Avatar. If he's not an Avatar anymore, then it's not Avatar. So,
maybe they can call it Avatar also.
Yeah, therefore, the movie will be called Avatar 3.
Perhaps we should call it Avatar Mo Money.
Or Avatar.
The Avatar 22 in a Second, starring Leslie Nielsen.
Well, I think we'll call this one Avatar The Last Airbender to really give it that sense of solidness.
Avatar Titanic.
No.
The quest for more money.
God, yes.
Avatar.
So here's something we want to maybe perhaps have some sort of discussion on. Ghostbusters 3. This has been in and out of the works for a while. In fact, it was
20 years.
Ghostbusters 3. Well, they were talking about Ghostbusters 3 before they did the video game.
Yeah.
My understanding was been is that they decided to forego Ghostbusters 3 to do the video game. And now they did the video game and they're like, oh, no, we're going to actually do Ghostbusters 3 again. Which the problem is that Bill Murray has been hardcore against the idea of doing it since they first started talking about doing the original Ghostbusters 3.
Because they're coming, I always feel like they're coming at Bill Murray all wrong. They need to like do something that will promise him good role in that movie that is up to what he feels like he's worthy of.
Easy.
And that he'll never have to do it again.
Easy.
You know, I've read this story before.
I mean, you just pull in a new cast. It's been so long now, you could bring up the friggin' Oscar the Baby as a new Ghostbuster.
You know, I've read this before.
And then you just have some kind of conflict between him and his would-be father, Bill Murray. Have him be like the mayor.
Wasn't somebody reporting that Venkman, he says he wants to die in the first room. Wasn't they reporting he was actually going to become a ghost or something? I've read this.
Yeah,
story.
I think that's
well, and it's possible that it's been construed that way because, again, Bill Murray has been saying he doesn't want to be in the movie. So there's. So he's saying he'd want them to kill Vickman. If
you're
going to
be a ghost in the movie, that's like 10 times the work of just being in the movie. It's like, okay, great. Now they're going to drag your ass down the motion.
You know what? This sounds really funny because, you know, Bill Murray dying is comedy gold. It's a comedy. Comedy. You know, when one of the main characters dies at the beginning of the movie, that really doesn't bode well for the whole, you know, action comedy genre.
Yeah. And, I mean, so the only way they could really do it is if they just tried to do it without Bill Murray. But the problem is like...
You can't do it without Bill Murray.
You can't do it without Bill Murray. He's, like, he's the anchor. He's their Rob.
He's the XV.
You can't
They need to pick. They need to find it. They want to have a franchise. They want the money, and that's totally respectable. What they need to do is they need to pick a cast of four more, like, you know, equivalent up-and-coming kind of comedians who could be, you know, semi-comedian action heroes. Pick one of them to be Oscar, the kid from the second movie. And, well, they did that in that cartoon, but that was crap. I'm sorry. With the guy, like, let's pick every PC thing we can and throw it into the Ghostbusters. That's not
Captain Planet.
Yeah, I know. The Ghostbusters and the Planeteers. That was not going to work. But, you know, you just do that. You have the villain be something classic-y. You, like, whip out Evo Shandor, and you're done. It's easy.
Here's the funny thing. How many times has Ghostbusters 3 made a new product? I mean, they were going to make Ghostbusters 3 with David Spade and Chris Farley as the new recruits. Guess what? That became Ghostbusters Extreme. Ghostbusters 3 became Ghostbusters The Game. What's coming next? Ghostbuster Tootsie Rolls? I mean, really?
I hate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably made it.
Come on, like, we didn't all drink gallons of Ecto Cooler. Yeah.
Yes. I still look for it.
Me too.
I think they made probably as much money as they could hope to as far as profit-wise off of the game. But, I mean, again, and this is where it comes. I mean, do we need a Ghostbusters 3? Because,
yes.
I mean, these guys are ancient.
No, yes.
I mean,
yeah. No, you need a reboot at this point.
Maybe a reboot would be better.
Why are we... Ghostbusters 1 is good enough. We saw that with Ghostbusters 2 that there's no reason to make another movie. The cartoon was great. But, you know, you have the cartoon on in your left hand, the movie, first movie in the right. That's all you need.
Just retire your dignity.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the game was the pinnacle because you don't have to worry about the old guys running around trying to do the Ghostbuster stuff.
You don't have them do the Ghostbuster stuff. You just have them forward the thing so you don't have to do a reboot.
But then it's not the Ghostbusters. I mean, that's
totally
to me again.
This. Oh, the Ghostbusters could be great again.
Well, the best thing about the game is it took place in 1996. I love that.
Yeah. No, that was great. The game is great. There's nothing to complain about the game. The game is so good. All the fans of the Ghostbusters, you don't deserve that game. It's so good. That's how good that game is. That was the last old lady you helped across the street. All right? Yep. That game is amazing.
Yeah,
no one deserves
I hope we're saying that about War for Cybertron when it finally comes out.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me
that'd too. Be great.
Okay. So we've
I think it's gonna be
that. So Tim Burton and Tim some other guy are going to make
from an alternate
made nine.
How do you say
that? Tim? Just say the guy who made Timber. Nine.
Beck Matt Patel.
Are going to make Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Awesome.
Which Brian's reading.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it, and it's awesome.
And this just came out too, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah it's it's great. Okay, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Good if they're already on top of it now. So.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, of course, took Pride and Prejudice, and it was a mashup of that and a zombie book. So what they're doing with Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, since it's written from scratch, it's a scratch written Abraham Lincoln biography. Then they're inserting vampires into. And it really explains a lot of things in Abraham Lincoln's backstory, like the death of his grandfather and things like that, that really sort of mysterious, you know, that we really didn't know about. And they're adding a vampire twist, everything. But the thing is, it's really, really well written. The use of language is good. I've done a lot of studying on the Civil War in the last year and a half, and everything fits in nicely. The language, the dialogue for Lincoln makes perfect sense. It's really, really good. Seth Graham Smith is a really talented writer, and I'm really thoroughly enjoying it. I can't wait to finish it. I'll finish it tomorrow.
I'm a Civil War buff and a big Lincolnite. I mean, I have at least a few dozen books on Lincoln on my shelf in this very room. And I think I'm going to have to go out and pick this up tomorrow.
It makes me overlook the fact that he became a dictator during the Civil War. So thumbs up.
See, I like that he became a dictator during the Civil War. So. Dictators. Yeah, dictators.
So, you know,
okay.
I can't wait to see how Johnny Depp plays Abraham Lincoln. I've been
thinking that ever since I read that, too.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how goth Abraham Lincoln looks this time.
There's a character in the book that that Johnny Depp could totally play. I'm not going to say who it is, but there's a character that has Johnny Depp written all over him.
I'm pretty sure I know who's playing it.
Yeah, Chris, it's awesome. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'm going to go out tomorrow and buy this book.
There's an audiobook available, audible.com. It's $13.
Are you audiobooking it?
Yeah.
Is it like a very Abraham Lincoln sounding guy that's reading it to you, or is it just...
No. I have an Abraham Lincoln from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure within arm's reach of me. I love that, but you know, it's the guy who does the guy who's very Johnny Depp like has the best voice in the book.
Who's Helen Bonham Carter going to? Abe's wife or something?
Who's going to? Oh, in the movie, I don't know.
Yeah, Tim Burton. We know who's starring in it. Now, who else is going to be in it?
It's probably got a succubus in it. She could play that.
Yeah. There's no succubus. It's all vampires.
And Jeffrey Jones will be somebody.
So, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Belmont's longest title ever.
They're calling it Belmont's Inferno?
Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah, so this is the 3D... next in the series, is this PS3, Xbox?
Yeah, yep. PS3, Xbox 360.
Okay, everybody, did you play finally. Symphony of the Night?
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Then you're done. That never got better.
Yeah, I don't know. My wife loves these games.
DS games are fantastic. They're all
DS games are great.
The Game Boy Advance games are all worth playing.
Are they better than games?
Okay.
Some of them are. Symphony of the Night is overrated. Symphony of the Night is one of the greatest games ever. But it only goes so far. It's not very Castlevania. It's a little different. I love Symphony of the Night, but it's not like the pinnacle of Castlevania games. That's probably Rondo of Blood, or maybe even Circle of the Moon.
You give Rondo of Blood a lot of credit.
Rondo of Blood's excellent.
As far as like the original, as far as the original style Castlevania games go, it's absolute best.
It's good, but I don't know.
I think my favorite original style is Castlevania Chronicles, the sharp reversion of it. To me, that's my favorite 2D one.
That's
Haunted Castle.
Haunted Castle word. Let me go save my wife from Dracula.
Well, I think this 3D game, it looks pretty good so far. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be good, but I'm looking forward to it.
I don't care.
Here's my problem. IGA isn't really behind it. It's the guy from Metal Gear Solid behind it. So
I liked Metal Gear Solid games.
So I like it.
I don't.
40 minutes of video, kill a zombie. Here comes the movie again. Yeah, Castlevania.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be like that.
Yeah, that's my only.
Yeah, there's that point where you're just like, why didn't you just make a movie?
Yeah, the thing is, Castlevania.
Out of this, man.
You know, if it is Kojima doing it, it's not going to make any sense. But that's fine because Castlevania games don't make sense.
Well, they're saying that he's not really doing it. It's just he's attached his name to it to kind of give it a more of a high profile because they want this game to be successful.
You mean they paid him money to use his name on it?
Basically, I mean,
they pay him money anyway. He's like a VP there.
I mean, he can't, like, you know, be personally making everything now. His hands are in a little bit of everything. He just isn't physically doing anything for it. He's just kind of saying, hey, look at this. We're working on this. Play this.
I'll straight out say I'd be happy to see someone other than IGA because he keeps doing the same thing over and over again. Let me see someone else do it. But how about Suda51? He's who I want to see do Castlevania.
What has he done?
No More Heroes, No More Heroes 2, what's that, 64, Killer 7. Yeah, he done a lot of Japanese RPGs. I mean, the guy knows how to make an insane action game that's fun and just crazy. I've played
Killer 7 a bit, but I haven't played No More Heroes.
No More Heroes, it's crude in a funny way, but it's like all game. Like, it'll stop being serious long enough to retro something. Like, you'll finish a level, you'll finish a task, and all of a sudden it goes to the scoreboard, starts playing like old Tato song sounds and stuff like that. You don't actually have to start the game. You turn it on and just push start. In the last save point, I mean, it is just straight fun. The only problem is it's a little too sandbox between missions. You have to earn money between missions to take a mission. So, and those little mini games get annoying. But in part two, they fixed it where it's more like 8-bit style games to earn up money to take the missions, starring your wonderful Johnny Touchdown, Travis Touchdown, and burps.
Way to go!
Yeah. Oh, and your Charger lightsaber by jerking off the Wiimote. You have to start acting like you're jerking off, and he goes, starts acting like he's jerking off, and then, and he just shoots off.
Wait, you're making that up.
No, that's in the game.
No, that really is in the game, Brian. I'm serious.
Your battery dies in the lightsaber, you have to start acting like you're whacking off the Wiimote, and he like bends over and starts dry humping whack off the motions.
Holy crap. Okay. Yeah.
So, speaking of...
God of War sex scene.
Speaking of whacking off, God of War 3 sex scene almost cut. Which
speaking of whacking off right now, I'm...
If you're a fan of God of War, there's pretty much a sex scene in both of the other games. So I'm not necessarily surprised by it. Of course, I don't think it was actually cut, so that'll be interesting.
Almost cut.
Isn't it an Easter egg game?
All right, so I have a question on this.
Yeah.
When did sex scenes become, like, commonplace in games? I totally missed this
moment.
They're
still not. I think they're still not.
Heaven's Leisure Suit
Larry. Yeah, I think that's
Leisure Suit Larry. I mean, that was a big exception. That was an exception to the rule.
Goldwell 13. Say,
honestly, the way a lot of these sex scenes come up in action games, it's almost out of place.
I mean, yeah.
It's not that I'm a specific. It's just like, if they cut this, what would it have contributed to the game? What would it have contributed to the video game? What did the sex scenes in God of War 2 and God of War 1 contribute to those games besides making them more inappropriate for kids to play?
Maybe that's the reason.
I think the scene in God of War 2 actually had more relevance than the one in 1.
Yeah.
I think if I remember correctly, because it seemed like the one that it was in God of War 2, you actually had to get past something, and they put it in such a way that was like something that you had to complete, like another puzzle essentially that you had to solve in order to get on to the next part. But it definitely
usually
wasn't.
Just think it's like something that really, I don't know. I just don't see the point. It's not the venue for it. It's not part of the game.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, I don't know that, you know, it adds like, anything. Yeah,
yeah. I like the way Golgo 13 did it. That's good.
I was about to bring that up. Like, does it do anything that couldn't be done by an implied
laugh scheme? Well, the thing is with Golgo 13, it actually fit the theme, because if you watch Golgo 13 cartoons, he is getting it every 5 minutes.
But like, if you know, 90% of the time in a James Bond movie, you know, at least in the earlier ones, it was like, and we're going to have sex now. And then later. And honestly, it really had the same impact. But since it wasn't like this graphic on screen thing, honestly, you could get away with it more.
In the earlier
Bond movies, he could do it 12 times in a movie and he never noticed because he never saw it. It was just implied.
Jim Steranko did about the best way you could possibly ever do this in an issue of Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It showed Nick, I love Steranko, by the way. He's like the most brilliant artist from the 60s. He just, you know, the implied, okay, we're going to get together. Then it just showed a gun fitting in a holster. And that was it. And I'm like, that's fantastic.
That's clever. You know, the thing is, you know, somebody can even take, you know, there's something to that that invokes that imagery. The fact of the matter is that the gun going into the holster there pretty much gives you about the same moment you would have had.
Yeah.
If they did something more graphic.
Well, and I think by and large, too, I mean, in the age of the internet, if you're playing God of War 3 to see a sex scene,
Right.
You've got some serious issues. So,
Well, you're just incompetent at that point.
Yeah, well, or that. Yeah.
It's becoming a new thing.
You wake up in the morning like, you know what? I want to see a boob today. I think I'll go play a PS3 game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're
2 hours in.
Yeah, really. 2 hours in.
I really got to see it now. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's become like commonplace too in RPGs.
I really want to see some porn. I know. I'll play through 3 levels of my favorite video game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, okay. I don't think that's what's going to happen there. So.
And so now in what is becoming our obligatory ode to lists of things that we sort of care
obligatory
about.
Waste of time.
Yeah. Filler, as it would be called. The 15 most garish Cobra Vipers.
I disagree with this list.
To this, and I'm shocked by that.
Us disagree with the list.
The number one is not the most garish.
I don't think so either, but we'll go down here. Number 15.
There's number 5. I disagree.
You may have to describe them a little bit too.
Our listeners will know who these are. Now, the 15 is Viper, but it's not the Viper from the 80s. The 87 Viper, I think, is 87. The blue with the silver mask.
Right.
This is like the Viper. I think it's from the Battle Force, whatever it's called. The spring loaded. It was from the 90s.
Most of these are.
Yeah, this is not the basic Viper.
Yeah.
Number 14 is the Secto Viper. Beautiful yellow, black, and red for some reason.
Yeah.
He's one of the space guys from the space line. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he should have a helmet there. That's kind of
a little bubble helmet.
Those little bubble helmets were kind of cool when they came out.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem a little goofy now, but they were pretty cool when they came out.
Gyro Viper 13
is Gyro Viper.
Disagree.
No, there's besides his purple, what's garish about that at all?
Yeah, he came with
he's missing his helmet in his back.
Brown green thing.
So. Oh, you know, it's like he's practically camo.
Yeah, Gyro Viper's not bad. Toxo
Viper.
Like
khaki Viper.
Yeah, khaki Viper.
Toxo Viper is
missing a helmet.
All right, too.
Again, missing the helmet. Why do none of these have helmets?
I think because it adds to the garish, but yeah.
Now,
Ninja Viper.
Ninja Viper, that's from the new. That toy is not from the new line, but there's a Ninja Viper from the new line. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the mail away one, isn't it? From the little catalog where it's in a G.I. Joe Hero Points or whatever. From
back in the day?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I don't remember. There are a lot of mail aways. I got a mail away Lifeline. I got a mail away Super Trooper. I don't remember getting Ninja Viper mail away.
He was in it. I don't know if he got retail release or whatnot, but I remember him in there.
Saw Viper.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Cobra, too cool for camo.
Yeah, exactly.
God.
Range Viper is number 9. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's...
Love Range Viper.
That's pretty good,
green.
Yeah, it's the head, too.
Yeah,
I love that, though. It's like Mars Attacks.
It's classic. It's definitely classic. G.I. Joe.
I don't even remember the Frag Viper.
I have it. I don't remember anything about it, but I have it.
Gold. Lots of gold and green. That's kind of weird.
I had a Heat Viper.
Heat Viper.
I never had a Heat Viper.
What does it stand for?
I don't even know.
Who knows?
Okay. No. None.
You know what's cool about the Heat Viper, though? You got a note. You see a little peg off his head? And then he's got those little missile things, the little figure eight kind of missile pod things on his on his ankles. Not many figures have that. That was kind of cool. He had like little attachments there that were weapons. That was fairly cool.
A lot of these are vehicle drivers too.
Yes.
Yeah. Sludge Viper is number 6.
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's
got
not a core
weird
figure.
Shoulder there.
But he's stopped by his immediate successor, the Flak Viper.
The Flak Viper's missing his absurd. He's missing his absurd backpack missile launcher. If he had the backpack missile launcher, he'd be even worse. He'd probably be 3.
And what the hell is Python Televiper?
From Python Patrol.
Patrol.
Yeah. He's Televiper from Python Patrol. Yeah.
Those were awesome repaints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hella Viper's number.
You're definitely not a G.I. Joe nerd. I'm not a very good G.I. Joe nerd.
Python Patrol. Everybody knows Python Patrol.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Came out of time as Tiger Force. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hella Viper is something.
Like, I don't need to be camo. I'm supposed to be a pilot.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
It's a repaint, too.
Stand out. Cyber Viper is number 2. And wow.
He looks
a lot of neon-ish. Number one is Alley Viper.
I love Alley Viper. I love Alley Viper.
And it's missing the helmet Viper. Again, isn't
he
it?
The stuff. This was a beautiful toy. This is one of my favorite G.I. Joes.
And I love how they used him in the cartoon as well.
Yeah, he had his own character.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Not to mention, he is camouflage. He hides Alley behind Viper, trapper keepers.
Ready to kick Ninja Turtle ass. Look at him.
Yeah.
So once again, another list of things for us to yell at.
We've been talking about doing this, but we want to do our own lists.
We should do that
because that's like Black Cat SEO stuff. We need to get
work.
Into.
Yeah.
Like easy content. Want to make some money? Get some green.
Yeah. Get all the chicks.
So. Yeah. Yeah, chicks. Okay. Chicks love lists.
Chicks, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I need to get me some, I go to my wife. But before that, I would make
and
lists.
Then it's a 50-50.
Yeah.
And then right before I got married.
But you're married.
And
25% now.
So there you go. New Soundwave. Episode 20 in the bag. If you notice that there wasn't a heck of a lot of comic news, it's because, hey, we've got a whole nother podcast where we talk about that stuff. It's Fanboy Versus, and it features, people like myself. Brian occasionally is on that show.
We've had like three or four episodes. I missed one. I'm not going to miss anymore.
And Ender.
Get your crap together, Brian.
As well. And the amazing... Chris McFeely.
My God, is he awesome.
He is. I kind of want to like have a poster of him on my wall.
He's even more awesome while he's not here.
Oh, fully clothed, right?
Fully clothed, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Holding a Guinness. But anyway, check that show out. Is. That's there. We also have a slew of other shows available over at TF Radio. That's going to include Radio Free Cybertron, Superhero Time.
It's like the nerdiest show that we do.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Which and is then we've saying got more something. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should put a nerd scale next to each show, and so we can give people like
genius.
Can I be on that show just once to tell them that?
You have to talk to XP. One thing to mention, we mentioned this on RFC. On the 15th, don't buy from Maddie Collector. Go out and buy something from Hasbro, buy a Transformer, buy G.I. Joe. But it's
An email to Maddie Collector and say, just to let you know.
Okay, instead of buying from Maddie Collector, go to tfradio.net/BBTS, buy a Transformer.
Yes.
There you go. BBTS.
Buy one there, but then shoot the email to Maddie Collector and let them know that instead of trying to log in to buy one of their collector figures that day, you bought something from Hasbro because their service is better.
Then all the only
then
people
go to their Facebook and to their Twitter because they asked us not to.
Yes, actually, yes. Because they asked us not to mention that if you actually buy from Attic Collector and if the experience sucks, tell them on their Facebook page.
So, all right, very good. Well, thank you, gentlemen. There it is.
I've been my personal plan for Attic Collector has been to suggest that they allow no more than 5 figures to be sold at a time.
They do that occasionally.
Only five to one address. You can only have 5 figures per address. I'm just going to write that on their Facebook page every day. I think everybody else should too. Go over there. Just write 5 figures per address over and over again every day.
I'm just going to go to the dollar store, buy a bunch of wrestler toys and get some blue paint and sell them online. It's going to be the RFC version of Maddie Collector. We got our own He-Man toys. F y'all.
And they'll come with Taco Bell.
Exactly.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, gentlemen. And everybody, have a good night.
Awesome.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, JD Church, Ender, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.